on. Good morning, Hope Church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on, we can do that. Stir ourselves up for the Word of God. Amen. God's Word is eternal. Did you hear me? Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, before His Word will fail. You know, many times we don't, and this is a human nature thing, so I'm not diminishing anyone. Everybody can deal with this and probably does. But sometimes, have you ever got where we don't validate or look at the Word at the level of importance it really is and deserves in our life? It's easy to come to church on Sunday and hear something and walk away on Monday and just almost flip a switch. We come in on Sunday, we flip a switch, we put on a hat, we talk the talk, we look the look, we walk the walk, we say the things that we know are supposed to be acceptable in the church world. We listen to it, we sometimes celebrate, we sometimes clap our hands, we might cry, pray. We do all these things, and then in the rhythm of it, we go back and something happens. It's in that moment of that something happens that we need to deal with a little bit. Because when that something happens, we step out of the church, we step into the car, we get back, and all of a sudden, it seems like the world continues on, and we step back into the world system in our thinking, not just in our job or responsibility, but in our mindset, in our thinking. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to adopt the idea that the Bible is something really cool and something exciting to talk about and learn about on Sunday. But when it comes to Monday, we got to get back to the quote unquote real world. Wow, got quiet. And the reality of the Bible, and the Bible says that let all men be liars and God be true. Challenge everything I say. Please challenge everything I say. Challenge it. Challenge anything and everything anybody says to you. Because at the end of the day, you can't live this on secondhand knowledge. You must know how to buy for yourself. The five foolish virgins knew where to get the oil, but they didn't wait. They didn't get the oil for themselves. They'd rather get it from somebody else. Israel didn't want to go to the top of the mountain. They said, Moses, you go and let us know what God says. But the secondhand information will never be revelation to you. And the information that's not revelation will never produce anything in your life. I don't want to have a church full of people that talk and look the part, but behind the screen, there's no substance and evidence to it. I'm not talking about being weird. God's not weird. Jesus was never weird, and He'll never make you weird. Weird people are just weird, and there's a lot of them in the church world. I agree. You don't have to be that way, but you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and stand out. Be the trendsetter. Be the dynamic change agent in your church, in your world, in your job, in your neighborhood. You don't have to be like everybody else. God didn't call you to be like everybody else. He called you to be a step ahead of everybody else. He's the one that you're supposed to be the light that they're looking to that connects them to Jesus. A lot of Christians, no one here, praise God. A lot of Christians are not light. They're just dead weight. And you got to drag them. You got to drag them to church. You got to drag them to a Bible study. You got to drag them to volunteer. You got to drag them to give. You got to drag. They're just a dead weight on everyone. And the worst thing they could ever do is begin to tell people about Jesus. If you're going to be a dead weight, be a dead weight. But don't talk about Jesus. Well, let me tell you about the Lord. You don't know Him. You just know about Him. You know about Him like people you see on TV and movies and TV shows, and you think you know Him, but you've never sat down with Him. You've never had a conversation. You've never been around. But when you're around somebody, you get to know them. And when we begin to look at the Word of God in the context of not of an idea or something that just sounds good on Sunday, but something that is real, Jesus said, my words, that they are spirit and they are life. They produce a change. In fact, the Bible tells us that all creation was created by God and that He did the things that you see were created by substances that do not appear, which means it comes from faith and the Word of God. When God wanted to create, He spoke it into existence. We look at it and say, well, faith is just something that's just out there. No, you miss out. Because what God says is true. Yeah. And you might not see it until you get to heaven, but I'm here to tell you, God still loves you, and you can go to heaven and not see everything that He has for you. And you can wait to heaven before you get it. But it is an option for you, child of God, to access everything that is in heaven here on earth. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That gives us the right, the door entry, the access, because if Jesus said it, then we can stand on it. If Jesus declared it, then you can own it. You can possess it. It's just not an idea. But it can become flesh. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word, catch this church, and the Word, catch this church, and the Word of God became flesh. Hallelujah. That means it becomes tangible. Praise God, I can celebrate a blessing, but it's a different thing when I hear about it and shout about it than when I can spend it. If you can't spend it, you're not there yet, but don't get offended. If you can't spend it, then you're not there. You're still on the journey. Just look at somebody and say, I'm still on the journey. It's through faith and patience. I'm still on the journey, but I know the end of the journey. I'm going to have it. If I can't spend it, I don't have it. Woo, that's just not money. That could be healing. That could be peace. That could be the anointing of heaven. Woo, I pray for somebody in it. It might not be working the way I think it should. That's okay. I'm growing in this thing. I'm in the journey. I'm on the process because I know what the Word says. And the Bible tells me in Psalms 119 that the Word is established forever in heaven. He watches over His Word to perform it. He's elevated His Word above His name. I'm telling you, it's the thing the devil doesn't want you to know. That's why they try to keep it out of nations. That's why they try to keep it out of our school system. That's why they try to, and now they're trying to keep it out of churches. And you can go to some churches and it's nothing but a mass therapy of psychological principles. But I'm here to tell you, those principles, some of them may came out of the Word of God, but at the end of the day, if it's not a declaration from this Word, it has no power. As God's Word goes forth, Isaiah 55:11, it will not return void. If you believe it, give them a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stand on the truth of the Word of God. Move not by what we feel, hear, or see, Romans says, but move by the direction of the Word of God. You're a dangerous person to the devil when you get to the place of saying, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by the winds of doctrine. I got a truth of the Word revealed to me personally by the Spirit of Almighty God from the written Word of God. Don't get weird and flaky on me, but you get a hold of the revelation, and when you get a hold of it, you can stand on it. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. David said to the king, I can't take out your weapons to fight that giant. It looks like a better weapon. It looks like a shinier weapon. It looks like a more prominent weapon, but I haven't proven it. I have to take what I've proven. I have to take what's been tested. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, is the sword of the Spirit. You can't take somebody else's sword. You have to have an experience for yourself. The reason so many people think what you do on Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Saturday, whatever your work routine is, and the dealing with business and dealing with problems and dealing with bills and dealing with people and dealing with craziness and dealing with this and that, and you call that the real world, is because we have saturated ourselves with everything the world has offered, and we come looking for crumbs, and God says, I have so much more for you today if you're willing to open up your heart and let your eyes see what God has for you and your ears hear what He's saying to you. Don't look to me, don't look to man. Begin to open up and say, God, sitting in this chair today, I want to hear from heaven. I need something from heaven. When you get so hungry and thirsty, I don't care who, when you get hungry and thirsty and quit getting satisfied from the crumbs of heaven and say, oh God, I know there's more here. Show me in your word. Speak to my heart. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, I'm not going to read it on the screen, but I'll just give you the context. You can check it out. And it's in other Gospels too. We hear the story of Jesus. And Jesus is walking, and he sees, the Bible says he was hungry. Do you ever think of Jesus being hungry? And he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree afar off. He didn't see the fruit, he saw the tree. And he saw the leaves. And the Bible says that he saw the leaves. So I'm not adding to anything here. And the Bible says that when he saw from a distance the fig tree, even though it wasn't the season of the figs, he saw the leaves and the tree and he began to approach it. Why would he approach it? Because understanding that when a fig tree begins to produce fruit, it also produces leaves. So in essence, you could say it this way. If I see the expression of the fruit, if I see the leaves, then I know it has fruit. Right. It's the DNA of the fig tree. Yeah. There shouldn't be anything unusual about that. It would be more unusual if you approached the fig tree that had leaves and found apples or pineapples. I remember the last time I was in the Philippines and went to dedicate a church, and it was way in the jungles. And one of the things that they did, it sticks in my mind, in my memory, because it was so unusual for me. And they're like, "Are you thirsty? Would you like to have some coconut milk?" I thought, okay, sure. Don't do it too often, but yeah, I'll go for it. And Pastor Jesse, who's our executive bishop over there, over all the pastors in the Philippines, looked to one of the young men and said, "Get him a coconut." And off he went, climbing this tree. I've never seen anything like it. He climbed this tree, just scurried up it, and came back down with a couple. They opened it up, and it was tasting amazing. So if you see, now I would have looked at that tree and never noticed what it was about. Right. They knew what it was about. So when they were looking for coconuts, they knew what to climb. Yeah. If someone came to me and said, "We need a coconut," my first thing is I would try to get on Dasher or one of my apps and saying, "Please deliver." Come on, somebody. I just found out Amazon's even got some stuff where they can drop off food. Do you notice that? Maybe it's old. I don't know. I just noticed it. I was on Amazon and I thought, man, I like a certain snack. And I kind of thought, I need to order, look at that. And as I did, it said, "Deliver to your house in less than 2 hours." I went, now that's nice. Amazon's helping me with my cravings. Thank you, Jesus. You know, pay an extra $4 and get it sooner than that. I'll even do that because I was wanting this thing. If you know what the tree looks like, then you know what the fruit to get. Right. You never go to a apple tree expecting to get oranges. So it's within the DNA of the fig tree. Stay with me. Where does that DNA come from? The DNA comes from the seed. Yeah. So when you go to plant something, you don't plant something not knowing what you're going to get. Right? If some of you plant flowers, and you might go to a place and they sell the flowers. Usually they don't just have a bundle of seeds, do they? No, they usually have it in packages, and on the package it's the picture. Right. What is the picture? The end result of the seed. Yeah. Stay with me. Yeah. God, when he plants the seed of his word, Matthew 13 tells us, he doesn't plant just looking at the seed, he plants looking at the picture. Right. What is supposed to happen to that from that seed? And so when a seed of a fig tree was planted, what do you expect to happen? Figs. And when a fig tree produces leaves, it's saying to those who are nearby, "I have something to eat. If you're hungry, I have something for you." Right? So Jesus, back to the story. So Jesus sees the fig tree from afar off and sees the leaves, not the figs. He doesn't see it. It's not obvious to the person sometimes from a distance, the fruit. But they see the signal of, "I have something for you." Right. And he approached it, and when he approached it, there was nothing to eat, which creates a really interesting issue here. Because all of a sudden, you could look and say, well, you know what? It's not time. Because it said it's not the season. But the problem was not that it was in season or out of season. The problem is that it was presenting itself to have something. It did not. Come on. It publicly presented, "If you're hungry, I'm here for you." But it left everyone who approached empty and wanting. Now you see where I'm going. It had the sign above its head, basically. You could say, "I'm here if you need anything. Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty." But when they got close, those who were hungry and thirsty approached, it left them empty. Because there was nothing to satisfy. And so Jesus said something interesting. Now, the context of interpretation is that Jesus cursed the fig tree. Peter refers it to it that way. But Jesus didn't use profanity, and Jesus didn't say, "I curse you." What did Jesus say? He said, "No one will eat the fruit from you ever again." What did he do? He canceled the assignment of the seed. Ooh. He canceled the assignment of the seed because the assignment of the seed was not just to produce a tree, but to produce fruit. What has happened in the church world is we become professional in our presentation and appearance. But some have lost the substance. So that when God sends people, and this is what's on my heart, and we're going to move into our series. When God moves and sends people to you that are hungry and thirsty for the gospel. Hungry and thirsty. Listen, my friend, it's not by coincidence or accident that a person at your work or your neighbor or a stranger you've never met would all of a sudden you find yourself in a conversation
right.
about eternity, about salvation, about the gospel. No. The Father sends people who are hungry and thirsty. Jesus said, no man comes to me unless the Father has sent them. And if we're sent like Jesus sent, that means no one can come to you unless the Father. So when people come to you, it's the Father sending them.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry for something greater than is experienced in their life. Right. We're not talking about material stuff now. We're talking about eternal stuff now. And yet if we're not careful, and this is not every church, and this is not this church, amen. This is not you. But if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with the appearance of green leaves. Don't we look spiritual, but not have substance to feed the hungry? And I believe we're moving into a phase, in the church phase, where heaven's beginning to make a demand on the seed of his word that's been planted in your heart. John chapter 15, verse 17 and 16 tells me that what glorifies your Father is not suffering. What glorifies your Father is that you produce much fruit. There's coming a season, my friend, where when heaven is beginning to make a demand as the Father sends people to that are hungry and thirsty to receive the fruit of the seed of the word. You have enough word in you. You might not have all the word that you need. You might have a lot more to learn, but don't tell me you have no word. If you're sitting in the church, you have some word inside you. You maybe just got saved yesterday. I'm telling you, then you got the seed of the gospel that Jesus can save, forgive, and loves you, and you can be free from sin and escape hell and heaven. You have the seed of God's word in you. You wouldn't even be saved. The very fact you get saved, you begin to accept and receive the seed, the DNA of heaven. The Bible says you can't live in sin if you're right with God because his seed remains in you. It's the truth of his word. And heaven is getting ready to make a demand on people. People cry out, God, use me. And God said, okay, I'll use you. I remember the first time I cried out when I was a young teenager, Lord, use me, help me to pray for the sick. And I was about 17 years old, and I was going through a grocery store one day, and I've shared this before. And as I was going through the grocery store, I was just running in to pick up some stuff. I was not shopping. I was 17. I was probably going in to get some soda and a candy bar or something. Who knows? When you're 17, you can eat anything you want, and it all works out. Oh, Jesus. And I remember I was rushing through. Have you ever gone through a store trying to get in and get out?
Yeah.
And when I was going through the store, I was looking for what I needed. I grabbed it. I moved quickly. And then as I approached the aisle, I noticed there was a few of the aisles that were open. And in the moment, I don't know if you do this. This is the way my brain works. And I still do it today. Even if I'm not in a rush, I begin to figure out which has the shortest line. Because
right.
Why wait around for nothing? And not only do, and if that doesn't help me, I look to the employee, because some employees are better than other employees. And all employers in the world and in the house said, amen. Not all employees alike. You get some of them that are checking out and they're doing this. Deep. That's pretty good. I need to try that sometime. Need a price check. It's a banana. Put it away. No one really cares anymore, you know? And then you get some employees that are like, beep, 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 beep. How you doing? Beep, beep. They are bagging it. They are scanning it. And so I look for the one who's moving the fastest. I went out of the place. And as I'm standing in line, all of a sudden I'm waiting and I'm waiting. I'm trying to be patient. I'm working on patience. You know, that's an important thing for all of us. I'm standing, I don't know about you, but I get kind of antsy and I'm looking around and just, come on. And all of a sudden the person in front of me turns around and says, how you doing? And I said, fine, how are you? And they begin to say, oh, I just came back from a doctor's appointment. And now, don't look bad at me. Just pray for me. And all of a sudden, within 30 seconds away, my brain's moving so fast, I'm thinking, why is this person telling me this? Do we need to put social standards on signs? And when you walk in, when people says, hi, that's nice. You say, fine, how are you doing? And they should say, fine, and off you go. Right? Because at the end of the day, nobody else cares, right? I don't know you. Why would I care? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I was 17 years old. So anyway, I turn around and look and say, hey, how you doing? I said, fine, how you doing? And begin to tell. And my brain's thinking, why is this person telling me this? And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, so you want to pray for people, huh? I thought, oh, let me do it at church. I thought, let me do it on a platform. I thought, let me do it in front of people. God said, no, I'm going to use you out when nobody sees it. Don't look for titles and positions. Look for the anointing. Amen. The anointing for something is much better than the title of something. Amen. Without the anointing for something, the weight of the something will bury you in the routine of something. Amen. Let me say that again. Without the anointing for the something, the title of something will bury you in the routine of something. You don't want a title just because it looks good, because the routine that comes with the title will wear you out. But when you get the anointing and the grace for that something, when you step into the grace and anointing for that something, you might feel exhausted, but all of a sudden when you step into it, it energizes you, it strengthens you. You begin to draw life from the something, not the... Heaven is getting ready to make a demand on the seed of his word planted in your life. I believe in the days ahead, we're going to begin to see people that we thought would never be interested begin drawing to you. Oh, well, I'm not a good speaker. I didn't ask if you're a good speaker. Oh, I'm not a preacher. I didn't ask if you're a preacher. I'm not called to the fivefold. I didn't say you had to be called to the fivefold ministry. I'm telling you, what glorifies your Father is that you produce fruit. And it's not something you have to try to do. It's something you have to be obedient and let him do through you. And when you don't know how it's going to play, just simply obey. When you don't know how it's going to play, because the devil will mess with you. Oh, if you pray for them, what if it don't work? They'll all laugh at you. You ought to just laugh back and say, what if it does work? It's not my job to make it work. It's not my job to raise the dead. It's just my job to remove the stone. Right. It's not my job just to walk on water. It's just my job to obey and step out of the boat. Right. It's not my job to produce the results. It's just my job to obey. It's not my job to turn water into wine. It's just my job to get some water and pour it. It's not my job to do what the end result. It's our job to simply obey. But to obey, which is greater than sacrifice, to obey takes something that most Christians don't have, that you do have. And if you don't, I'm believing that through this series, you're about to step into it like never before. Listen to me, people who are outgoing and strong. Listen to me, people who are timid and quiet. It does not matter what I'm talking about. The effect of your natural temperament does not have to define what I'm referring to. Because I'm not saying that if you are shy and quiet, you have to be boisterous and loud. Nor am I saying if you're loud and gregarious, you have to be soft-spoken. Don't try to imitate the style of somebody else. Be you. Be you. Be you. I saw during praise and worship, Freedom jumping around, spinning around and going around. That's just his style. And it was anointed. If that's not your style, don't do it. Your style in praise and worship might be simply at this point, clap. If it's raise your hands, raise your hands. We don't try to get you to fall in the uniformity of a worship style that everybody looks and approves of. We want you to worship God from your heart. For God said to Israel, you worship me with your mouth and your lips, but your heart's far from me. Because if it's not what God's called you to do, your heart won't be in it. But what we need to understand is that as we approach the last days, I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. I can prove that we're in the last days because it comes out of Acts. Peter says that this would happen in the last days, referring to that moment. And so if Acts, the birth of the church, was the beginning of the last days, how farther are we along, further along are we in this journey? Right. We are moving into a season that some will be afraid of, but others will arise and shine, Isaiah 60. But to arise and shine, we have to be willing to stand up and arise.
Amen.
God will not force you. He will not make you. God doesn't come and pound you. He leads you.
Yes.
He'll touch you with his presence. He'll touch you like Elijah did Elisha. He'll just touch you with the anointing. He'll touch you with the opportunity, and he'll keep moving, and you'll have to decide within yourself, am I going to obey? But for us to take that step, one thing that I see throughout Scripture, all the way back from Joshua and Joshua 1, verse 6 to 10, all the way through to Gideon, all the way through to Peter and Acts, all the way through Scripture, is that if we are not bold, if we are not strong, if we are not courageous, listen to me. The devil has worked an amazing job on the church to teach people to be weak and timid and afraid and survival, be quiet and sit to the side. But the Bible says that God's not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right.
He's given you a spirit of power.
Yes.
He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. This is not weird, but this is an internal strength. I'm praying and I'm speaking into your life right now prophetically that as you stay with us during the season, that you'll begin to experience an anointing on the inside of you that you might not feel all the time emotionally. It don't matter, but in the moment you need it. Did you hear me? In the moment you need it. A lot of people want everything. I'm in the same boat. We want everything prepackaged for us so when we're ready, we see it and we have it when we need it. It don't work that way. God said that even when you stand before judges, Jesus said to the disciples that if they take you before courts and judges, don't try to prethink. In the moment, I'll give you what to say. You have to learn to be available. In the moment, God will be there. In the moment, he'll tell you what to say. In the moment, he'll tell you what to do. If you're waiting for, I'll step when I see the end result, you'll never do it. You have to, in the moment, when he begins to tell you what to do, you might not know how it's going to play, but simply obey. In the moment, if he says, talk to your neighbor. In the moment, if he says, be a blessing. In the moment, if he says, I want you to go spend some, you got to learn not beyond the discipline. In the moment, be open for God. Because when we have the moment, that's not the time for us to rationalize. I pray that supernatural strength will rise up in you to say, all right, Lord, if you said it, it looks like a wall, but I'm going to praise anyway and watch it fall. Okay, Lord, it doesn't seem right, but I'm going to do it and watch God do the... I was reading Gideon earlier in my own time, and God looked at Gideon and said, I want to use you to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon's like, you can't use me. I'm the youngest in my family, and my family is the weakest of all the tribes. Isn't it amazing how the devil will convince us in our own self-image of why God can't do what God wants to do through us? Who said that we need to be good enough to do what God wants? You can't be good, that good, to do the greatness that God has for you. That's like God saying, it's like someone saying, I've recorded this amazing soundtrack. All I need you to do when you get in front of people is hit play. Oh, I'm not a good singer. I don't need you to sing. Just hit play. Well, I've never had experience to do this. Just hit play. Don't add to it. Just hit play. God's saying, I'm ready to shine. Just hit play. I'm ready to bless you like you've never seen before. Just hit play. Oh, I don't know if I can lead anybody. I've never led a group. I didn't ask you. If you can do it, I can do it through you. Just hit play. Oh, I don't know. He smells by now. He's been in that tomb 4 days. I know he does, but if you want to see resurrection life, you don't have to raise him from the dead. Aren't you glad you don't have to raise him from the dead? Aren't you glad God didn't say, now get in there and raise him from the dead? God just said, remove the stone. Give me an opportunity to be who I'm called to be in the situation, in the moment of your life. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make it happen. All you have to do is submit to him, and he can do something you can't do. Just hit play. He's the one that does it. He's the one with the power. If you could do it, then you'll take credit. Don't you lie to me, you sharp-looking, spiritually-looking, Christian-looking thing. I'm telling you that if you could do it on your own, you might say, I give him credit. But the back of your mind, you're thinking, I did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. But the days of I did it are coming to a close. He's about to shine in you and through you so great, just like Gideon. God said, listen, there's too many of them. Not too many enemies, too many people. And God weaned them down from thousands and multiple thousands all the way down to 300. And he says, why? Because if I let them go out like they were at first, they're going to think they did it. I need to set them up so they know it's me pushing. I want to set them up so at the end of the day, they know it's me. I'm telling you, you might think, oh, what is going on? I can never get that done. That's God setting you up, saying, if you trust me and follow me, I'm going to do something you didn't think was possible. Just hit play, and we're going to move forward with this, and you're going to sing a song that I wrote that you can't even sing through it, but you're going to stand there and say, it's all Jesus. There's no sissies in heaven. Did you hear me? A lot of sissies on earth, but no sissies in heaven. No sissies in heaven. I'm not saying you have to pick a fight with people, but I'm saying you, if we get into this, you're going to understand that God doesn't want you to fight with people. God wants you to understand the strength of the power of the presence of God in you so that when the enemy rises up, you have authority. You're not intimidated. You are not afraid. Are you listening to me? Here's the key word. Here's the key phrase. I'll give it to you now. I was going to do it at the end, but I'm going to read this a few verses. But here's the key thought. It comes out of a Cambridge dictionary. Are you ready? The word is indomitable. Indomitable. And it means of a person, ready? Strong, brave, and I love this part, and impossible to defeat or make frightened. An indomitable spirit or will. Someone who's strong, brave, and impossible to defeat or even make frightened. Are you listening to me, church? Globally, I'm tired of the church we're looking like all you have to do is stomp your foot and we go running off. That's not the way it's supposed to play. I'm tired of us celebrating and singing it with joy on Sunday and afraid of what might come on Monday. I'm telling you, there's anointing coming on this house and on the people in it that you are going to be so strong that regardless of what the enemy tries to do, I don't care if it's through your job, through your boss, through your economy, through your doctor, I don't care what report, when you hear, you will not be afraid. Something on the inside is called the Word of God, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will rise up and you can say, I see it, I'm not denying it, I'm not ignoring it, but it does not rattle my cage. It does not rattle my cage. It does not rattle my cage. It will not cause me to be afraid. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got a horrible report. What happened? I got a toenail that broke off. Oh, Pastor, pray. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Shout, I'm bold as a lion. I decree you're indomitable in the name of Jesus. Philippians 1:28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. In nothing terrified by your enemies that used to intimidate you, that used to make you nervous, and they knew they would make you nervous by your expression, though you may say or do nothing in the moment. They could tell by your look. I decree all of a sudden, when the enemy against the enemy of your soul rises up against you, he's going to see a different look in your eyes. He's going to see a different expression. He's going to hear a different tone. You won't quiver. Your knees aren't shaking. You'll stand and you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. I like the Philippians again. And in nothing terrified. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. You say, I disagree. That's fine. You can disagree. Challenge everything I say. DM me later and show me the scripture in the New Testament you can find where God told us to be afraid of our adversary. Show me a scripture where it tells me. I'm telling you, men and women of God, some of them, they knew they were going to die. They're like, it don't matter. I'm not changing the destiny. You can't stop me. You can't. If you think, oh, you might get hurt, so what? Tell me, that's an indomitable spirit that says, I don't care what the enemy tries. I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting up. You listen. Before the rapture happens, I don't believe it's going to escape. I believe the church is going to have the best days they've ever had. That's just my opinion. You can disagree. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of increase, the Bible says. And if we started with power in Acts, we are going to end with greater power. I believe in Joel 2 that refers to an army that's never been seen before and never will be after. And that's the army, the church of the living God. I don't believe we're looking for an escape. I don't think we're looking for a hatch. I think we're the restrainer from the Antichrist and the spirit who's always been in the world trying to take the place of God. Anti doesn't mean against. Anti means instead of. And it's always been the design and desire of the enemy to create heaven on earth without God. And all of a sudden, we are on this earth and we are stopping his plans. He can't do it. But when we are removed, as we get closer, he's going to try to get stronger. He's going to try to put opposition. And he will not be able to do it. There will be a time when we're gone and he'll have the freedom to do what his plans are. But opposition will come. They are going to try to shut the gospel down in the church world. In America, you might talk about China and say, okay, North Korea, okay, it's happening, it's happened around the world, and we have sat quietly by and thought we were good because we had a comfortable chair and a comfortable temperature in a building. I'm telling you, the days are coming when they will try to shut the word of God, the gospel down. But those who are indomitable, those who are strong in the Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm telling you. The reason I'm preaching this is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I got to get this in you. I got to get this in you. Because not all of you. Some of you, you only show up to church if you have nothing better to do on Sunday. And if they threaten you with jail or church, there will not be no decision. You'll say, oh, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. But I'm telling you, the Bible's full of great men and women of God, like Daniel, and they said, you can't pray to any gods but the statue that we set up. And Daniel said, I'm going to pray anyway. In fact, I'm going to open the window so they can hear me pray. What was he? Oh, you got to obey the laws of the land. Not when the laws of the land defy the law of God, you don't. Not when the laws of the land defy the law of heaven. And Daniel said, I'm not only going to keep praying, but I'm going to open the window so they can hear me pray. Woo! Touch three people. Say, we're getting strong today. Come on, touch three people. We're getting strong today. We're getting strong today. We're getting strong today. The devil don't want the church to know this. I don't care if you're 14 or 104. You're getting strong today. I don't care if you had training or no training at all. You're getting strong today. You're going to walk out of here with a fresh anointing of something that some of you have never had before. You're going to be strong. You're not going to be tempted by the enemy. You might sense a temptation, but you won't bow your knee. You're like, no, no, no. I don't need to play with frivolous things that takes me down the wrong path when I have something greater. Oh, my God, I'm so excited about what he's doing. I'm so excited the place the church is in. We've been called to be on this earth in the church for this time, for this reason, for this season. This is not by accident. Hebrews tells me there's a great cloud of witnesses. I'm telling you, Moses looking over the banner of heaven, looking down. Abraham's looking. David's looking. Caleb, I'm telling you. Peter's looking, and they're saying, oh, it was good when we had Jesus. Oh, it was good to follow him. But, oh, you get to see something we've never seen before. We're about to step into a realm and a dimension, an identity that will not be fake it till you make it. It will not be a lot of talk and no action. It will not be no green leaves of here I am and no substance to feed the hungry. We are moving church into a dynamic, a dimension, a place, an anointing that those who are hungry, that the Father sends to us, that are drawn to us, that when they come to you, it won't be you they're after. It's not your personality, how pretty you are, how ugly you are, how charismatic you are, how dumb. That's irrelevant. What they want is the life on the inside. They're coming to receive from heaven. They're coming because they're thirsty. They're coming because they're hungry. They're coming because they're being drawn. I send you out today. The Bible says, how can they hear unless I'm speaking? How can someone speak unless they're sent? I send you out today. to be alert, to be ready, to lift your eyes. Because Jesus said, don't say we've planted and the harvest is going to be so much down the road. He said, look now, for the harvest is ready, which means I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to speed it up. The answer to your miracle, I'm speeding up. The answer to your prayer, I'm speeding up. The results I need down on earth, I'm speeding it up. I'm speeding it up. Heaven is coming down and it's making a demand on the fruit, the seed of the word that's been planted in your life. This is just not stuff that you just heard. Because Jesus said that those who are trained in the kingdom will know how to draw out of their spirit the things that are new and the things that are old. Some of you have had words spoken in your life years ago that you have forgotten. But the Bible says, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he will remind you the things that I have said. You're going to be like, why am I remembering that now? I'm telling you why. It's time to activate. It's time to activate. It's time to activate. I hear that from the Spirit of Heaven. It's time to activate, the Holy Spirit says. It's time to activate that word. It's time to activate so you can demonstrate. Oh, my God. It's time to activate that word that's on the inside of you so you can begin to demonstrate that word to those who are around that do not know him. It's one thing to say, oh, Jesus does this, but when you begin to let them to taste and see and know that God is good, it's time to activate. It's time to activate. Indomitable, of a person strong, brave, and impossible to defeat or make frightened. Oh, Pastor, that's just not my temperament. It might not be right now. And that's cool. That's awesome. And I'm not asking you to fake it. That's one of the worst things you can do is pretend and put on. But what I'm telling you at the end of the journey, see, Jesus said to the disciples, now you are clean by the washing of the water of the word. You are clean now by the washing of the water of the word. I don't know what has limited us or hindered us, and many times it's things in the natural, but it's like a supernatural spiritual car wash. When you take your car through a car wash, you don't sit there and go out there and scrub it. No, you just let the water do what the water is supposed to do. And what do? If you've ever gone through a car wash, you just let it keep moving forward. Oh, there's still a little dirt. Don't worry, we're not done yet. Oh, what about that? Don't worry, it's not done yet. What about this? Don't worry. And you just let it do its thing. And as it walks it through, the washing of the water, amen, all of a sudden when it comes out on the end, you're like, wow, my car's a lot nicer than I thought. You haven't washed it in 7 years. That's why now it looks totally new. It's been coated. It changed colors on you. You didn't know it because of all the coating of the dirt. But all of a sudden, the coating of the dirt disappears, and you walk out. Some of you could be like, wow, you know, this thing really, really, really works. Yes, it does. This is not a game for me. This is not a game for me. This works. If the word doesn't work, then God's not true. If God's not true, well, we're not going to heaven or hell anyway, so why do we care? Let's do something else. But if it be true, see my point, I'm not into games. It's not like I don't have other things to do. Given my life to this because I know it works. Amen. Indomitable, strong, brave. You know what amen means? Amen means so be it unto me. Yes. So when I say strong, you're going to say amen. Amen. Brave. Amen. Come on, let's try that again. Brave.
Amen.
Impossible to defeat. Or make frightened.
Amen.
Can you imagine the devil thinking he's going to mess with you on Tuesday and he's going to get his teeth kicked in? He's going to get his butt whipped and he's going to be like, what happened? Come on. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Ephesians 6:10, last verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're going to walk through this journey. I speak prophetically of your life that when you come through it, you're going to see, starting even today, you're going to notice it. The anointing of heaven, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring strength, not timidity, weakness, and passive, but strong in the Lord.
Yes.
Not where you're rude to people, But when the opposition comes, you're not moved. You don't take a step back. You don't bow and bend your knee. Nope, something on the inside. That's the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost is going to rise up. Say, I'm strong. Shout, I'm strong. Shout, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you bow your head and close your eyes, no one looking around with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus, I'm not talking about joining a church, denomination, religion. I'm not trying to act and put up a bunch of rules. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't have a real relationship. Do you know Him in a way that you understand and process and experience that Jesus is real and that He's your Lord and Savior? If you don't, you can. He wants to make Himself real to you. Follow this prayer with me. Let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to You today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in Your blood, forgive me, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. As we close, let me encourage you. One, make sure you invite somebody to church next week. Let's just not take what we can get for ourselves. Let's make sure we are sharing. Because that's how to increase what you receive, is learning to give it away. We've seen that principle spiritually and naturally. Our food pantry will be going on 15 minutes following this service. If you need prayer, we'll have prayer partners down here for one-on-one prayer. We want you to know we love you. We are so proud of you. If you miss the offering, you can give through technology. They can throw that on screen if they want. But let me close with the number 6. This is the blessing that's on the inside of that wristband. If you didn't get one, you can ask the information center. And across the hallways are what we call our information center. Why do we do that? Because if you have a question, we want to give you the information. How do I join the church? Ask the information center. What do you have this ministry? You can ask the information center. And so all that's available for you anytime. And if they don't give you the right answer, talk to me. I'll hurt them just for you. Just kidding. All right. Hold up your hand. Let me speak a blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. God bless you. We love you. I'm proud of you. Have a great week. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. You are indomitable today for Jesus.